This morning we're going to continue in the series of messages on developing as a disciple. As Peter was writing to the church in his second letter, the first chapter, verses 5 and 6, I don't have it on the screen. He said, I want you to be diligent to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Peter is telling us that we need to have patience in our lives. And there's a reason for that. Many times we plan our days out, amen? We know what we're going to do in the mornings. We have a plan of what we're going to do in the afternoon. And then tomorrow we're going to do this. And later on in the week we're going to do that. And then next week I'm going to do this. And next month I'm going to do that. And we have a plan already laid out. And at the end of the day, many times, our plan goes awry. Amen? Many times things don't go as planned. There's a problem with our plan. We didn't get done today what we wanted to do. So now tomorrow we have to do what we were going to do today. And it just slows everything down and it throws us into a tizzy. So I ask you at the end of the day, are you frustrated or are you fulfilled? Because, see, the difference is patience. If we end up being frustrated, it's because our plans were not fulfilled. I did not get done what I wanted to get done today, so now tomorrow I still have to play cleanup for today. And so you get frustrated because the things we plan don't always turn out. And so the difference between frustration and fulfillment is patience. That's why it's important for us to learn patience. But it's hard for us to learn patience because in order to learn patience, you have to have patience. Amen? And if you don't have patience, it's impossible to learn patience. So you're in a catch-22. How am I supposed to be patient and learn to be patient if I'm an impatient person? My father used to tell me, don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, God will give you something to be patient about. It's like asking him to tear your plans apart just so that you can practice your patience. It's hard for us when we live our lives and we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be on the path that God has chosen for us. It's hard for us when we plan on doing this and that and trying to take these steps when it doesn't happen. And it throws us into a tizzy. We get all frustrated and anxious. And God is trying to tell us to have patience. James, as he was writing to the church, he spoke about patience. So I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to James, the 5th chapter. James, chapter 5. As James is writing to the church, he's telling them certain things that need to take place in order that they can live their lives in a way that is truly pleasing to God, and that they might be able to, get the word, develop as a disciple. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rains. Be also patient Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you want us to grow and mature and develop as disciples of Christ. And Father, along that path, along our journeys, many times our plans do not come to fruition. And so, Lord, we get frustrated, we get anxious. And Father, we don't understand sometimes what you are doing, but Lord, we know we need patience. And many times when those things happen, we do not realize that you are trying to develop that virtue of patience in our lives. Help us today to understand the importance of that, so that we might live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to teach us today. We thank you for your presence in this place as you touch our hearts. So, Father God, help us to be those disciples that are developing along our journeys. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. James is telling them that they need to be patient. Patient like the farmer that has to wait. He has to wait for the crops to grow, from the early rains to the latter rains. Be patient, because the Lord is drawing near. When he began this letter, it's interesting, and I don't think I have it on the screen, Brian, so you don't need to look for it. But he's talking to all of the brethren that are scattered throughout the area. And the reason why they were scattered throughout the area is because they were under so much persecution. They were under persecution. They were under tribulation. They had situations and circumstances going on in their lives. And they were wondering, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing these things to happen? Why can't life be simple? And James writes in chapter 1, whoops, went back too far in my book. In chapter 1, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. What? Count it all joy when the bottom of your life drops out from underneath you? Count it all joy. When your spouse wants a divorce, count it all joy. When you lose your job, count it all joy. When your vehicle breaks down, count it all joy. When there's a death in the family, count it all joy. Really? So he's writing to all the tribes of Israel that are scattered abroad. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Huh? Whoop, went too many pages. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that means mature, and entire, wanting nothing. See, we don't like it when God teaches us things in the valleys of life. Amen? We don't like it when things happen to our lives and in our lives, because we'd like to have a simple life, a quiet life. Just leave me alone and let me live my life. But it never happens. things transpire, things develop, and then problems come. And we wonder, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And if we could see through the eyes of the Almighty, we would see that He is loving us so much that He doesn't want to leave us alone. He doesn't want to leave us as we are. He wants to benefit us. He's wanting to do a work in our lives that otherwise He would not be able to do unless this happened in our lives. Our son's going through a trying time. Wife has left him. He's wondering, why did this happen? What is the problem? What did I do to contribute to this problem? All of those things. He feels betrayed. And I said, you know, I think it's all a part of God's plan to work in your life. Now, God hates divorce, amen? God hates divorce, but without the betrayal of Jesus, He would have never gone to the cross. It's God's plan. It's a part of His plan. And He knows it's going to create a pain in His life, but He's going to be able to reveal Himself in a new way that He's never known before. And now, because of this, my son is going to have a journey with God that he otherwise could have never had. Is it worth it? The answer is yes. See, that's how we develop as a disciple. We need to first of all see our labor of patience. Look with me, please, at our main text at verse 7. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," or the farmer, "waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rains." There is a plan for our labor. And we need to realize that plan. Like the farmer has a total dependency on God. He plants his field and then he has to wait. He does not plant his crop and expect to harvest it the next day. No, he has to wait for the early rains and the latter rains. There is a plan for his labor. God has a designed plan in each one of our lives. And we have to be aware of that plan. We have to know the plan that He has for our labor, for our lives. It's difficult. Being raised on the farm, when you plant the soil, the planters have a mechanism in them that turns. It's called the seed plates inside the planters. And what it does is it takes one grain, and after the planter travels so far, it turns and it drops one grain in the ground. And then the wheel behind it pulls all the soil in on top of it, and that grain now is planted. And every grain is planted at a certain distance. It's amazing. You can take the same grain out of the same bin. You can plant it in the same soil side by side. It can get the same sunlight every single day. It can get the rain every, you know, whenever it needs it. And the amazing thing is, one will grow and another one won't. Now, how does that happen? It came out of the same bin. It was planted in the same ground. It got the same sun. It got the same rain. Why don't both of them grow? Because God is the only one that can bring life from dormancy. And that seed is dormant. That seed has no life in it. It is dormant. God is the only one that can bring life from dormancy. God is the only one that can bring joy from sorrow. God is the only one that can bring good out of something bad. It's all dependent upon God. And that's what we have to realize, that there is a season, there is a plan for our labor. Being raised on the farm, we got to experience new life. All the pigs, the sows would come in to Pharaoh. And it's amazing, those mama sows, they'd have 8, 10, 12 pigs, piglets. And those little piglets would have on the end of their toes little buttons on the end of them. It looked like tapioca is what, real soft. And the reason for that is they move inside the sow, and if they had their sharp toenails, they'd rip the sack. But God knows these things, and so he puts a little tapioca bud on the end of their toes. And they're born, and they come out, and within seconds, they're floundering around and getting up, and they walk around mama's tail, around to mama's back, and they realize, whoops, I'm on the wrong side. And then they root around, and they come back around her leg, and then they get onto her tummy, and they go, oh, here's the dinner plates. And they latch onto one of those dinner plates, and it's like, oh boy, I like life now. How do they know to do that? They didn't go to school. It's God's plan. Horses, when they have their colts, when that mare is getting ready to foal, most of the time, horses will stand. Once in a while, they'll lay down if things are not going right. They'll kind of lay down. But most of the time, they stand. And when that colt comes out, they come out feet first. And when they come out, they just go plunk on the ground they go. It's kind of like the doctor taking the baby and swatting them on the hiney to make them go. It's amazing how God does this. And within minutes, that colt is up on its feet. And pretty soon, they're nuzzling around, and they go right to the flank where mama's dinner plates are at. They don't go up behind the front legs. They go up in front of the back legs, because that's where the dinner plates are at. Dogs. When a mama dog is having their babies, their puppies, those puppies are born blind and deaf. They can only smell. Their eyes are closed for 7 days after birth. All they can do is smell. And they smell where mama's at. They find their dinner plates, and oh, they really enjoy that. But they're blind. They're deaf. They can't see or hear. So they learn to use their nose. Their nose is the strongest sense that they have. It's open at birth. After 7 days, now their eyes open. Now they can see mama that's been licking them. Mama that's been loving on them. They can see, but another 14 days, their ears are still closed until finally those ears open up and now they can hear mama. That's God's plan. A dog's nose is the strongest sense. The sense of sight is the second strongest sense. The sense of hearing is the third sense. It's the weakest of their senses. But you know, as dummies, the dummies that we are, when we get a puppy, what do? We pet them and we talk to them and everything, and we feed them and we pet them and we talk to them, and we try to train them, and we let them outside and they run off and we call their name, hey, 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 Buster, and they don't pay a bit of attention to you. Why? Because you're talking using their weakest sense. If you had a T-bone steak and you were going, hey, they'd come right back. Because that's their strongest sense. That's why every dog should be trained by sight. Because sight is stronger than their hearing. That's why I've trained Buster to hand signals. That means sit. That means lay down. That means stay. And when I tell him to stay, he stays, and I'll just walk away. And he'll stay there. I can turn around and look at him, and I can do all sorts of different things, but if I do this, he comes. Why? That's his signal. This is a very strong sense, and it's God's plan that that's the way dogs grow and mature. It's God's plan for us to have patience. We also need to see the period of our labor. He says we have to wait till the early and latter rains. There's a proper time. There's a proper season. My sister, many of you know my sister. She's been here before. Some of you have traveled to Iowa and been with Mia and Terry. She's got so much on her plate. She has a cleaning service. She cleans residential. She cleans commercial. She's got three different teams working for her. She also works for some residential apartments at Iowa State University. And when a student moves out, she's in charge of getting in there, getting the place ready so that the next one can, so that they can rent to the next tenant. She's got 3 days to do it. 3 days! Her problem is she's got this expectation. So she has to work with each one of the teams, and many times she's doing the work herself so that she knows it's being done right. So she works from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning. She's got so much on her plate, she's worn out all the time. And I tell her, Mia, you just need to manage. Get people that you know you can trust, that you know you don't have to walk behind them and check their work. Because if you have to walk behind them and check their work, they're not worth hiring. They're not worth keeping. There are people out there that will work the way you want them to work. You just need to manage. There's a time frame. We, as Christians, many times we work, and then there's a lull in our work. Oh, we'll work on a clothing giveaway, and then there's a lull in our work. And then we'll work with a garage sale, and then there's a lull in our work. And then we'll work with VBS, and then there's a lull in our work. You know what that lull's for? There's a purpose. That's when we grow. The twins are growing. They're 8:14 and 9:14 now. Being born 2:02 and 2:14, they're 8:14 and 9:14 now. They're growing. Guess what? When they eat, they're working. And when they're not eating, they're sleeping most of the time, unless they're barfing on K. Barfed all over them, all over. But they're, you know what they're doing when they're sleeping? They're growing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be growing spiritually. We're supposed to be growing in knowledge. We're supposed to be growing in number. But we lose our focus. We lose our focus when all these things go on and we try to have our hand on everything. Well, we need to see, secondly, we need to see our learning about patience. Our learning about patience. Look, we need to learn to live for Him. Let God establish your agenda. Let Him be the one that sets the plan before you. Let him be the one that's responsible not only to establish it, but to fulfill that plan that he has for you. That requires spending time with him in the morning and spending time with him at night. And when you do that, you're going to have a better focus on what God is wanting. And you're able to see God's plan. So we need to learn to live for him. Mia is just running around rampant. She's running around putting out fires. I said, Mia, you can't grow that way. As the owner of the business, you need to have the big picture, the big vision. Let them do the work, and you just tweak it as you need it. It's hard sometimes to maintain focus. There was a week ago when Kathy and Kelly went to Iowa, and I was watching one of the sports things, motor vehicle week or whatever. And there was this speedboat. Those things go over 100 miles an hour on the water. They're out of the water more than they're in the water. And it's skipping along the surface of the water. And this they had a video of this wreck. And this thing's doing this, and it's in the air longer than it's in the water, and pretty soon it just goes airborne like this, and it flips over upside down in the water, 100 and some mile an hour. He hits the ejection about the time they impact the water. That blows the top off, and he is thrust way down into the water. And it's dark and murky, and he's trying to see, and he's frantic, and he's doing this, and he's trying to find out which way the surface is, but he doesn't even know up from down. So all of a sudden, he just stopped. Instead of his mind thinking, why did this happen? How did this happen? What did I do wrong? You know, all of these things. He just stopped. His only focus was on his life vest. Which way is that life vest tugging me? And the moment he started feeling the lift of that life vest, he knew which way up was. And he started swimming to the top. See, we need to have focus. That's our problem at times. We're trying to do too many things. It's hard to keep all of your irons hot. But it'd be great to have one iron in the fire and maintain that temperature and be able to use it as it's supposed to be used. Said when he felt the tug of that life vest, God gave him clarity. Clarity. This is the way up. And he started swimming till he got to the top. God gives us clarity. God can give us confidence. God can give us the courage that when things are going wrong, when we have a focus and we're living our lives for Him, we can just remain focused and allow Him to make the moves. Allow Him to be our life vest. When we spend time with Him in the morning and spend time with Him at night in prayer, when we're allowing Him to establish our period of work, our period of labor, our patience of labor, then we can truly have the focus that we want. And we will be successful because of Him, not because of us. We also see that we need to look for Him. In verse 8, I think you might have to go back to verse 8. Go boop, 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 boop. Go up, 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 up. There we go. It says, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. if we're going to learn to look for Him, that will allow us to know that He's closer today than He was yesterday. And His return is imminent. Amen? His return is imminent. It's closer today than it was last week, last month, last year. It's closer today, so there should be an urgency in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about panic. I'm not talking about being frantic. But there ought to be an urgency in our lives for us to look for Him, knowing that He's going to return. You've all heard about the wildfires out west, right? Thousands of homes being burned, wiping out entire neighborhoods. People living their lives and they return home to what was home. There's nothing there. It's gone because of the wildfire. Amazing thing is, when the fire gets close to a neighborhood, they'll put out the evacuation signals, and everybody's supposed to evacuate. Most people do. Some don't. Everybody's leaving. Most everybody's leaving. And the firefighters and the rescue workers are running towards the fire. Why? Because there's an urgency. There's an urgency, and they know if they don't do their job, there's going to be lives lost. People are going to perish if they tarry. People are going to perish if they have a nonchalant attitude, if they just wait. There's an urgency. That's what Paul is talking, that's what James is talking about. That there should be an urgency. He says, be patient and establish your hearts. That means be rock solid, be focused. Know what your mission is. Know what your objective is. Because if we don't, there's no urgency, people will perish. Lives will never be changed. He wants us to realize that if we're truly going to be disciples, we need to develop into it. We're all a work in progress, amen? But we all have to have a patience to be able to stand there, to go towards the danger, to go towards those that need our help, when no one else will knock on their door. We need to be the ones that step up. We need to be the ones that have an activity and invite them here. We need to be the ones that take the initiative. We need to be the ones, because there's an urgency, because the Lord's return is near. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. I pray that what God said this morning has challenged your heart, has challenged you to know that, you know what, I'm just not a patient person. I like to have all my ducks in a row, and when one of them gets out of the row, it bothers me. I get frustrated. And the only difference is patience. Is there truly an urgency in your walk to share Christ with those that don't know Christ? As our worship team comes, we're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe there's someone in your family that's going through a difficult season, and they just need to have someone pray for them. Maybe there's a friend or a neighbor that through the course of conversation you've heard that there's some problems in their lives and you need to pray for them. God has put you at that particular place at that particular time so that you can be that individual that reaches out with love and compassion and care. Maybe there's something going on in your own life, and you just need to have a brother or a sister come alongside you and pray. That's the opportunity that we have today.